跟着地方里
جایان بیشتی پاد حرمان سپر به جمشه رسی کسر شیشنه بکتی گران پسان شیفه و پرکی آگلایش تیدی سند بایتیس 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 Welcome to the devotion and bangram langate gudu yaktipan from humbande sikuru minatangam Amakyana kimiram nisya gyanan chadashakaya chakshinuritam yena tasama sikuru vikamaha. So today we'll speak on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Svarupaya Rupanu Gavarayate. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Satchidananda Bhakti Vinodaya, who is a transcendental energy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a strict follower of the Goswamis headed by Sri Rupa Goswami. So Bhakti Vinodaya Thakur revealed he is an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya just by his extraordinary preaching activities and his writing, his prolific writing. I heard today's class by Srila Prabhupada. He started at the age of 12 writing books. And he continued. He wrote at least 100 books in his lifetime. He was living as a Mahabhagavad Vaishnava, but he stayed in Grihastha Ashram until the last few years of his life. Not working so well? Closer. Is that better? Now you can hear me. Okay. Good. We're talking about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in case you didn't hear. How at the age of 12 he started writing books. And so we can understand that he was sent by Lord Chaitanya. He's a Mahabhagavat. So he discovered the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So these are some of his achievements. He wrote 100 books. He's renounced in his daily life schedule, hardly sleeping, hardly eating. And he was kind to everyone. He did not bear any grudges. He helped even those who criticized him. In fact, he never spoke a word that would hurt another's feelings. He was always courageous and active for everyone's welfare. Keeping personal needs to a minimum, he led a very simple life. Therefore, he is called the seventh Goswami. So, Srila Prabhupada said in his lecture that Lord Chaitanya started this movement 500 years ago, and after that, so many pseudo Chaitanyaites depreciated the whole thing. And so Chaitanya movement in its pure form was lost, and it was restarted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we can take it that he's the origin of the Krishna consciousness movement in its pure form. He came to wake up all the sleeping souls with the call of Lord Chaitanya, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Gora Chanda Bole, Koto Nida Jao Maya Pisachira Kole. Now, how long will you sleep on the lap of the witch called Maya? So Bhaktivinoda came to wake us up. This is also the purpose of creation. The Lord made this world just so that we could make ourselves perfect in devotional service and go back to home, back to God, just to wake us up. So 100 years ago, the Vaishnava faith had been so corrupted, so many deviant persons, and some people use it as a means to exploit innocent people. And there was one such person named Bhishik Shen. And we heard Srila Prabhupada's lecture, he was talking about that. He declared himself to be an incarnation of Mahavishnu. And two of his associates posed as guna avatars, Shiva and Brahma. So we had all of three of them at once and came at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time. He was living in the jungle not far from Bhubaneswar. He made a temple. He used funds because he intimidated certain kings of Orissa to send him money. And some of the kings and villagers even sent him women for his pleasure when he announced he would hold a rasa dance. And he would show how he is his soul supremacy and power over all women. So this was going on. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he took him to Puri and put him on trial. In case you didn't hear the class this morning, Bhaktivinoda went to visit him, and he said, "Why don't you come to Puri? Lord Jagannath is there. You can worship Lord Jagannath." And so Bhishikshen said, "No, he's made of wood. I'm the real God here. You can worship me." And so he was arrested. He was arrested by Bhaktivinoda. And they took him to trial. On the fifth day of the trial, it was adjourned. On the completion of the sixth day, this Bhishikshen threatened Bhaktivinoda Thakur that, "Babu, you should desist from prosecuting me, or everything you have will be destroyed. Go home now. See what's happening in your house right now." So when he arrived at home, he found his second daughter, 7 years old, Kadambani, afflicted with some deadly disease and high fever, repeatedly losing consciousness. Loud sounds of lamentation filled the house, but the Thakur did not fail in his determination. He knew the Lord would protect him from the insignificant powers of a yogi. Many doctors came to attend to his daughter, and by 8 in the morning she was well and playing in the courtyard. And the wife of Bhaktivinoda, Srimati Bhagavati Devi, was very anxious for the safety of their children, and she pleaded with her husband, "Let him go before he destroys our whole family." And Bhaktivinoda said, "Yes, let us all die, but this rascal must be punished." And so he was very determined. He didn't care for what reactions would happen. And so when he returned home late afternoon that day, all of a sudden he felt a sharp pain in his chest, on the right side of his chest. As the night went on, the pain increased, and he was unshaken, but he wasn't sure how he would go to court because he couldn't walk. But in the morning, the pain stopped. So at 10 o'clock, he went to court. It didn't stop, it was kind of getting less pain. And he gathered in front of the courthouse. And in front of the courthouse, there were like 1,000 of the yogi's followers making a protest, like we have our protests today. So they were in front of the courthouse protesting. And inside, the trial ensued, and he was found guilty. And he was being led away from the court. Now, here in this account from the book about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it says the district medical officer, Dr. Walters, jumped on him from behind and cut off his hair. Now, the way Prabhupada told it this morning in the class was a bit different. He said they called for barbers to come, and the barbers were all afraid of the yogi. No, none of the barbers would come. So Bhaktivinoda himself took the scissors and cut the hair of the yogi. That's what Prabhupada said in his class today. And so so as soon as the matted locks of the yogi were cut, he fell to the floor devoid of all power and unable to walk. So all his power was in his locks. Yeah, I met some yogis in Vrindavan. They had these huge, huge locks, and they have mystic powers. People go to them for curing their diseases, cheaper than the doctors. So, and the pain vanished from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's body, and the yogi was taken from the courtroom on a stretcher. So, when his followers saw God had been overcome by having his hair cut, most of them deserted him. So when his hair was cut, they saw he was a cheater and left him. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur woke home peacefully. Bhishikshen was held in the Puri jail for 3 months and transferred to the central jail in Medinipur. In 1873, while still in prison, he took poison and died. So after Bhishik Sen, there were other so-called incarnations, and Yajapur, a Brahma, took over Bhishik Sen's former group and was similarly punished. And in Kandaragiri, a Balaram made his attempt, and he was also swiftly thwarted. Just like as Durvasa Muni had attempted to punish pure devotee Ambarish Maharaj, but was himself punished, a similar attempt was made on Thakur Bhaktivinoda, but by the grace of the Lord, he was fully protected and victorious. So Prabhupada talks about how Bhaktivinoda Thakur was writing books. This is from a lecture. Bhaktivinoda wrote almost 100 books. Just imagine, he was a very responsible officer, a magistrate, a judge, and he was a grihastha. He had many children. Altogether, he had 10 children. And he had to take care of his children, the office, and extra religious work. And I also read in the book about him that he spent quality time with each of his children every day. So where do you get the time for that? He was made superintendent of the temple of Jagannath. And whenever there was some religious question, he was consulted. In spite of all his responsibilities or family man, he executed his family life very nicely. Else he could not have produced a child like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So at the same time, he served the Supreme Lord in so many ways. The Prabhupada said that is the beauty. He has written so many books in spite of cumbersome duties. And he would come from the office in the evening, take his meal, go to bed, sleep from 8 to 12, 4 hours, get up and write books until morning. That was his program. So he wrote hundreds of books, some published, some in the course of being published. All this was possible because he was a sincere, faithful servant of Lord Chaitanya. How could he write so many books and also go to court every day? But he was sincere, Prabhupada said. That was because of his sincerity, he got strength from the Supreme Lord. You don't have to get strength somewhere else, but you can just get it from Krishna himself if you are sincere. He will give you everything. He prayed also to Lord Chaitanya that your preaching and teachings have become so much degraded, depreciated. I cannot correct this. So he said, please send somebody. And so he sent Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And so one of his sons, Lalit Prasad, and in his notes on his father's life, describes his daily schedule while he was living in Jagannath Puri. Between 7:30 and 8, he would go to bed. Then he would rise. Now he says he got up before 10 o'clock, so 2 hours. Light his oil lamp and write books till 4 o'clock a.m. in the morning. So, yeah, and Prabhupada was similar. He would go to sleep at 10, get up at 12 or 1. And write books. Then, after that, he would rest for a half hour, 4 to 4:30, then get up, wash his hands and face, sit down and chant his rounds on his beads. He never showed his beads to anyone, but he would chant on them constantly, as time permitted. At 7 o'clock a.m., he would answer all his correspondence. 7:30, he would read various religious and philosophical works. 8:30, he received visitors, if there were any, or else he would continue to read till 9:30. Then he would walk back and forth on the veranda of his house, contemplating different religious questions and solving them in his mind. So he would just walk and think about what he read. Sometimes he would solve them aloud, as if preaching to some unseen guest. He would rest briefly from 9:30 to 9:45, 15 minutes. Then take bath and breakfast, which was half a quart of milk, 2 chapatis, and some fruit. 9:55, he would put his uniform and leave for court in his carriage. As a magistrate, he wore a coat and pants. On his neck were 6 strands of large tulsi leaves. He was resolute in his court decisions and would decide a case immediately, not tolerating any humbug. He did his business and left. He shaved his head monthly and never cared what anyone thought of it. At 10 a.m. court began, he would hear between 30 and 50 cases per day, yet he finished at 1 p.m. What took other judges half an hour, he finished in 5 minutes. He took another 2 minutes to write the judgment in detail. That was his work. At 1 p.m. he went home, refreshed himself, returned to work at 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. So 6 hours he was working as a judge. Every evening after his court duties, he would translate some Sanskrit religious work into Bengali by dictating it to his secretary. Then there was the evening bath and meal consisting of a little rice, 2 chapatis, and another half quart of milk. And so very austere diet for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had a pocket watch, so everything he did was on schedule. And his every moment was had an intense desire to give service to the Lord. So he would sleep for 3 hours. This is the total of his what he did in his 24 hours. Sleep 3 hours, write 8.5 hours, japa and study 4.5 hours, and work 6 hours. Now that was his daily schedule. And the government of Bengal many times wanted to give him honors and titles, but he humbly declined them each time on the ground that such honors would, instead of doing him good, would stand against his holy mission. So in Sharanagati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote on Shikshastika, verse 3, "You should always absorb your mind in attentively chanting Krishna's glories. By performing Krishna Kirtan, you'll gain mastery over the mind. Give up all false pride. Always think yourself to be worthless, destitute, lower, and more humble than straw in the street. Practice forgiveness like the tree. Give up all violence toward other living beings. Maintain them throughout your life. Never give anxiety to others, but do good to them, make them happy, and forget about your own happiness. Thus, when you become a pious good soul by possessing all the qualities, you should give up desires for fame and honor and just make your heart humble. Knowing that Lord Krishna lives within all living beings, you should respect and honor everyone at all times. You will attain virtue by being humble, merciful, respecting others, and renouncing desires for fame and honor. In such a state, you should sing the glories of the Lord. Weeping, Bhaktivinoda submits his prayer at the lotus feet of the Lord. O Lord, when will you give me such qualities as these?" So Prabhupada quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a letter to Shivananda in 1968. "Vaishnava Thakur, let me become your dog, and I'll remain at your feet, at your door, and I'll guard against my nonsense, any nonsense persons trying to enter. Whatever food you'll give me, I'll eat, and I'll remain as your dog." So he's quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In August of 1891, Bhaktivinoda received approval for a 2-year vacation. He wanted to preach the glories of the holy name for the benefit of humanity. And he went to Bodrum Dweep, he lived there, and which he called Namhata, the marketplace of the holy name. You've heard about Namhata. And there's different people who work in the Namhata, and they have different duties. So what was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's duty in the Namhat? He described himself as sweeper. Sweeper of the marketplace. He was a sweeper. He was cleaning it up of all the corruption. Yes, he was a sweeper. So in his lifetime, he established over 500 Namhatas. And in 1896, he sent to all the universities around the world a book of sloka, Shigaranga Lila Smarna, which had a 47-page English introduction, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts. So that was the year of Srila Prabhupada's birth. And Prabhupada makes a connection between that year of his birth and the year of Bhaktivinoda sending these books to the West. And Doherty did find these books in different universities. They found them, this book written in 1896. And they showed it to Srila Prabhupada, they brought it to Srila Prabhupada. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur made three predictions concerning a person and a phenomenon. He said, a personality will soon appear, and he will travel all over the world to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Second prediction. Very soon the chanting of Harinam Sankirtan will spread all over the world. Oh, when will that day come? When people from America, England, France, Germany, Russia would take up kartos and mridangas and chant Hare Krishna in their towns. Jai Prabhupada. Third prediction. When will that day come when the fair-skinned foreigners will come to Mayapur Dham and join with the Bengali Vaishnavas to chant Jaya Sachinandana, Jaya Sachinandana. When will that day be? So Prabhupada said, I said that, about the book being sent and his birthday. So, and just 100 years after Bhaktivinoda Thakur's third prediction, in 1986, 3,000 devotees from America, England, France, Germany, and Russia, that's just when Russia got liberated, and the devotees were able to come. They came in a plane to Calcutta. They were greeted with garlands, and they came to Mayapur. And 50 other countries. There was America, England, France, Germany, Russia, and 50 other countries came, and they were chanting Jai Sachinandana. They joined 1,000 Bengali Vaishnavas chanting Jai Sachinandana. Jai. So when Srila Vasudeva Dutt Thakur offered to accept all the sins of all the souls in the universe if they could be delivered by the Lord, Lord Chaitanya told him, whatever a pure devotee wants from his master, Lord Krishna doubtlessly grants, because he has no other duty than to fulfill the desire of his devotee. If you desire deliverance of all living entities within the universe, all of them can be delivered, even without your undergoing the tribulation of sinful activities. Lord Chaitanya told this to Vasudeva Dutt. Krishna is not incapable. He has all potencies. Why would he induce you to suffer the sinful reactions of other living entities? Whosoever's welfare you desire immediately becomes a Vaishnava. And Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from reactions of their past sinful activities because of your honest desire. All living entities in the universe will be delivered. Good news. Krishna doesn't have to do anything to deliver all living entities in the universe. So this is Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya, Chapter 15, 165 to 171. So in answer to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayer, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati came, Srila Prabhupada came to fulfill his desires. And Prabhupada prayed in the Jaladuta when he arrived here that all living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they will also be released from the clutches of illusion. And then Prabhupada said something very significant. Prabhupada said, I wish that you may deliver them. So because Prabhupada desired we be delivered, we're here today. He just had, Vaishnava had that desire to deliver the people of the Western countries. Prabhupada had that desire. And because he had that desire, it had to be fulfilled. Krishna has to fulfill the desire of a pure devotee. So now I would like to speak on one of the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jeev Jago. Jeev Jago. So it starts, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chanda Bole, Kata Nida Jamaya, Visachira Kole. Lord Garanga is calling, wake up, sleeping souls, wake up, sleeping souls. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? So Srila Prabhupada said, we have the cure here. We have the cure for waking up the sleeping souls from the disease of Maya. Simply let them hear. He said, when you're sleeping, you have all your senses. Your eyes are there, your legs, your hands. But they will not help you. Only your ear will help you to wake up. So Hare Krishna mantra is there to wake up everyone. The Vedas say, Utishtata jagata prapyavarani bodhata. Human being, please get up. Don't sleep anymore. You have this human body. Use it. Get yourself out of the clutches of Maya. So this is the Vedas. They say, wake up. And Srila Prabhupada also asked us to waken our countrymen from illusion. They're thinking, I am this body. I'm Hindu. I'm Muslim. I'm Christian. And so this, but the ear is open. They can hear. So just like in India, the snake charmers, they, when somebody goes unconscious from snake bite, they can chant a mantra to wake that person up. Like my friend, Radha Kun, she went on book distribution in India, and in one of the villages she set up her book table, but unfortunately it was the place of a snake charmer, and he was angry with her, and he sent a snake, and the snake bit her. She didn't die, but her leg got all big and swollen. And so she went to the next village, and there was another snake charmer, and he chanted some mantras, and he cured it. He got the poison out. So it works. It works. It's still in India today. You can get cured from snake bite if you find a good snake charmer. Who knows the mantras? And so we know the mantras to wake up the sleeping souls who are unconscious due to material life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings in Udila Arana. Miche nidabe shikore rirati yasha sharira shaje amana darava manava deha paya kikara bhavana keha ebe na pajine jashara shika charame pori vilache. So Lord Chaitanya, when he went on Harinam in the morning, would announce to the still sleeping people, you spend your nights lucidly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. You have received this rare human body. You do not care for this gift. Not worshipping Krishna, you are falling down through your last moments till death. So now we'll go to text 2 of this. 2. Yeah. Vojiva valiya eshe shamsara vikare Huliya rohile chumi avidyara bhare. When you came into this world, you promised to worship Krishna. But now forgetting your promise, you become lost in this world of darkness. So if the baby is fortunate, the baby in the womb will remember his past births and pray that when I come out, let me worship you. And there is the prayer from 3rd canto, 21st chapter, verse 21. Without being agitated anymore, the child prays, the embryo, I shall deliver myself from the darkness of nations with the help of my friend, clear consciousness. Simply by keeping the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu in my mind, I'll be safe from entering into the wombs of many mothers for repeated birth and death. But as soon as the child gets out, he forgets. Forgets everything. So he's praying to remain, I remain in the womb. Like Shukadev, he stayed for 16 years. He was afraid to come out. Krishna himself had to come and promise him, don't worry, you come out, you won't be in Maya, you'll be okay. So, yes. So text number 3. Tomare lai iche ami hoinu avakara Ami vina bandhu ar kaya chetamai. I have descended just to save you. Other than myself, you have no friend in this world. So why is Lord Chaitanya our only friend? Because he wants to take us back to Krishna. He wants to open the path. Srila Prabhupada is also our only friend because he's opening up our path back to home, back to Godhead. I live in Vrindavan. At least I used to before COVID, and now I'm stuck here. But in Vrindavan, in the temple, sometimes you would see a small child get lost from its parents. And in Vrindavan, we have big crowds. So if a little child gets lost, it's not really good for the child. And so many times I would see the child get lost, and you take the child by the hand, and you try to feed it a sweet, and the child, no, I don't want sweet, no. Doesn't want anything until you take it to its mother. And finally you come to the mother, and the child is okay. Otherwise he won't, nothing you can give that child will make him happy. So we're like that lost child in this world. And we're getting computers, we're getting, oh, this will make you happy, this will make you happy. Nothing makes us happy. Why? Because we're the child of Krishna. We're meant to be with him and enjoy with him. And so Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, they are bringing us to Krishna. So Panchatattva, they came to distribute Krishna prema, love of Krishna, and it's described in distributing love of Godhead. They didn't consider who was a fit candidate, who was not, where such distribution should take place or not take place. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, they distributed love of Godhead. And there is no scarcity, because the more you distribute, the more you get. It comes back, it fills up. And so in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 7.25, it says, the flood of love of Godhead swelled in all directions. Young men, old men, women and children were all immersed in that inundation. There was no discrimination according to race or gender or religion. And there was a prediction in Adi Lila, Krishna conscious movement will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, whether one is a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, invalid, or blind. And so that prediction we're seeing. It's happening in front of our eyes. We're part of that movement. And so when the five members of the Panchatattva were distributing, they saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead. They became happy. So verse 4. Ene chiyo shodhi maya nashibar lagi hari nama maha mancha lao chimi magi. I have brought the medicine that will wipe out the disease of illusion from which you are suffering. Take this maha mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And so in the 10th canto it's described that how is a medicine for those who are suffering conditioned souls. For the liberated souls, it is relishable. For the conditioned souls, it is a medicine. We have to take our medicine. We can also relish it. In kirtan, sometimes we do feel that. So he has brought the medicine. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, when he came, there was a treasure box, love of Godhead. It was locked, it was sealed. Lord Chaitanya, I mean, when Krishna came, he brought the treasure house, it was locked. But Lord Chaitanya opened up the treasure house and distributed the contents. Now, 500 years after Lord Chaitanya, it was still locked for the rest of the world. It was only in India. And barely even in India. Even India was becoming degraded by the Western culture. And it was locked in India too, actually. And Prabhupada opened it up. He unlocked it, even for India, even for the whole world, for the Western countries and for India too. Because I met so many people in India who were unaware of this treasure that we have here, of Lord Chaitanya. So we'll go to text 5. Bhakati vinada prabhu charane pariya she hari nama mancha laila magiya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I fall at the Lord's feet, having taken this maha mantra. Now this is the translation of Jai Satchinanda. Chittananda Swami had a different translation in his original book. He says, I fall at, Bhaktivinoda falls at your feet begging, please take this Harinam Mahamantra. So that's how he translated it. Loilo Magiya, I beg you, please take this Maha Mantra. So you can take either one. There is an original book. It may be on database now. There was a huge book, the original songbook printed in the early 70s by Chittananda. And many of his translations were different. And that was one. It's quite different. You're Bengali, right? So you can tell us which one. Which one is correct? It could be both, I guess. Bengali is like Sanskrit. We have so many. So how to get the taste for chanting? We have the Shikshastika, humbler than blade of grass, more talent than the tree. So if we practice this third verse of Shikshastika, we will get the mercy of Nityananda. So that we can please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also we will get access to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. There is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adhi. I don't have the number. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Charanaravinda Jahaite Painusa Shri Radha Govinda. So by all glories to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, for whose mercy I have attained Shri Radha Govinda. So, okay, I'll stop here. If there's any questions, you can ask at this point. Okay, we've got Yadubara and we've got how many? Two questions? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, go.
Try this. Try it.
No, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, what's that?
So what was the yogi charge then? You're saying guilty of exactly what?
Yeah, I got Bishan Singh from the book by about Bhakti Mukhaka, written by Shubhala. I think I got it from his book.
I didn't know what exactly he was charged with.
Pardon me?
The yogi?
Yeah, the yogi, yeah.
What was he charged? What was he found guilty of? What was he found guilty of?
He was found guilty of claiming himself to be God.
Bogus.
As far as I understand. And, oh, actually it was probably also his Rasa-lila. They were after him because of his Rasa-lila.
Uh-huh.
You know, molesting all the women.
Okay.
But that's what Prabhupada said on his lecture today. That because of the Rasa-lila they came to charge him. You know, he was... probably molesting women. So how's this one? In the back of Sharanagati of Bhakti Nali, that Dasara Sutra published years and years ago, mm-hmm. there's a whole list of these books that Bhakti Nali wrote. Oh. Is there a library somewhere that you can? Or
yes.
I'm especially interested in the one that he wrote specifically to Christians.
Oh yeah.
About Jesus Christ. And I was just wondering if there's some way to get a copy of that.
Yeah, it's in Calcutta.
Are you sorry in Calcutta?
Yeah.
He's in Mayapur. The library's in Calcutta. And the Krishna Samhita, the introduction, was written for Westerners also. It was written for Western people, Western thinkers. Western thinkers.
So that's interesting, right? If you claim as a God, you cannot punish.
Yeah, that's true. But if you...
Yeah.
There was a recent incarnation of Lord Chaitanya who has since left his body, who was also charged with the same.
Oh,
really? Mm-hmm. And he was put in jail in Africa, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to mention any names.
Yeah.
Now they have a new... Last one I left Vrindavan. He has a big temple close to ours in Vrindavan behind... on the Chetkara Road. And now they put all the, there's a new billboard of him, that he's a representative of all four Sampradayas. But we have, as we had our Vaishnavi retreat, we used to stay in his guest house in Varshana, when we had, because it would hold 2,000 people. And we had like 500 for our retreat. And there were pictures of him with women, and he thought he was an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. And yeah, anyway. Yeah? Yeah, you can read the book by Rupa Vilas, Seventh Goswami. It's probably on the database. Yeah. He'll be there. As far as I know, he was inside a dark room chanting. What I remember is he was in a dark room chanting Jagannath Puri or Gojuram. I can't remember exactly. But he did take Babaji in his last, at the end of his life. He took Babaji from Shishi. He lived like Babaji. His son introduced sannyas. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati introduced sannyas again into the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Brought it back. I don't know. Last 4 years, he said. Last 4 years. Of his life, he took Babaji. Yeah, I don't know. It's good to read that book that's written about him. I don't know the details on that. But yes, his Jagannath Das Babaji is the one who is, it appears to be his actual guru. He's the one he took to find the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. He didn't take the other one, I think she did. He took Jagannath Das Babaji. Yeah, he didn't take that one to find Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. He took his Shiksha Guru. And that's, he's famous for that. He's in our line, Jagannath. That Prabhupada has given that specific succession. So maybe His Holiness Radha Maharaj knows some more details. Okay. All right, any other questions? Okay, he's looking online. We're looking on.
Orun Das is asking Mother Narayani. Last week you spoke at end of class. You read a prayers of Lalita Sati.
Oh, yeah.
I could not help but sense some personal realization. Could you
share, that would be nice.
Share some thoughts of my benefit, for my benefit?
Well, Lalita Sakhi, he's asking about. And I don't have much personal realization, except that we are Rupa Nugas. We are following Sri Rupa Goswami. Sri Prabhupada called us Rupa Nugas. Rupa Manjari is a servant of Lalita Sakhi. So we do have a relationship with Lalita Sakhi through Rupa Manjari, through Rupa Goswami. And so we do have that relationship. We go through the six Goswamis to understand Lord Chaitanya and Radha Krishna. And we have the books Prabhupada gave us. nectar of devotion, nectar of instruction. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jai, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Okay.